I've been meaning to call you this week. I just don't want them to grow in there, so that they gotta tug and pull to get them out. Well, good morning. Looking at lesson number 3 here today, trust God's excellence. Memory verse of the week is Psalm 8:1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Wow. God's got an excellent name. Would that be true of us? Sometimes, does that ever happen? Somebody brings up a name and you kind of go, ooh. You know, and hopefully that doesn't happen for ours. Yeah. Okay, let's pray and we'll get started here. Heavenly Father, we thank you beautiful day out there. Thank you for an opportunity now to study your word. Pray that you'll guide us as we look here at Psalm 8 and learn some helpful truths, point our hearts and minds in the right direction, and we can see things even as David did. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're looking at Psalm 8. Just 9 verses, but some interesting things there. As we look at this, we'll find that, well, it is a Psalm of David. I mean, not all of them are, but this one is. And he's taking a look back, and he's taking a look ahead. He looks back, and, you know, we're limited in what we can remember. I mean, we may have pictures, slides, videos, if you're old enough, the Encyclopedia Britannica or World Book or whatever, and see things that others have written down from the past. But he's looking back to the beginning of creation, and we see, and then he ultimately takes a look ahead to see Christ. We find that somewhere in there, we don't know days, hours, weeks, or how long it was after the creation, and God said it was good, and Adam and Eve are there, and we don't know exactly when sin occurred, but it did, and that changed things. And just like it changes things in our lives if we find ourselves falling into sin. But he seems to be looking at what he refers to as a pre-Adamic view of things, before the fall. You know, what were things like before the fall? And said that Adam was to have dominion over all the earth. Okay? And they talk about, you know, have you ever come up to a wild animal of some kind? And have any of you faced a wild animal? What did you face? A shark. Oh, my. Oh, wow. I've read, now I don't know if you remember all this, when a shark comes up and is about ready to take a bite, that you're supposed to smack him on the nose, but that might just make them mad, so they open wider and take a bigger chunk. I don't know, but did you say shoo?
No.
Oh. Wow, that's before they had Shark Week and what's the kids sing all the Baby Shark. Okay, yeah. Well, it would be interesting. I was daydreaming a little bit about that here, thinking, okay, what's it like? But when Adam and Eve had dominion over, you know, and elephant comes strolling up, you know, and he's gonna eat their lunch or something, you know, and he, go on, get out of here. And he turns around and leaves, you know. Well, it doesn't work quite like that anymore, you know. I mean, it's people either send or take their dogs to obedience school so that they will learn to obey. They don't just do it naturally. Yeah, so we don't have dominion over the animals anymore. But he looks back and sees a little bit as to what God had in mind for us. Is it ever going to be like that again?
Yeah.
Right. Christ comes back. The animals will get along, and we'll get along with the animals. And no more fussing and fighting. Yeah, he says there in Genesis 1:26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. So God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. How about that? Male and female. Not 42 different versions, but I don't know. I won't get off into that right now, but guys boxing women and the world watches. I mean, it's like, come on. How far down the hole will we go? You know, it's pretty crazy. All right, Psalm 8. So we see here, first of all, we see God's greatness. He says in verse 1, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. So he uses two forms of the word Lord, capital L-O-R-D, and all capitals, and talking about Jehovah. That was their kind of personal name for God. He was a personal God to them. L with the rest of them, small letters. And we see that's Adonai, and that often refers to God's dominion over creation. He's sovereign over creation. And so he uses couple of these names of God, and that just helps us to get a little bit better idea as to who God is, what he's like, what his attributes or characters are. And if you've been with us when we've done a study of the names of God, there are a lot of them, a lot of different ones, and it brings out different points about God. It's kind of not any one name kind of covers them all. And so when he says, how excellent is thy name, he's not talking about just one or the other of these two, but all of God's character. How his name is above all names. And we see his attributes. He says he set his glory above the heavens. And here in the city, what do they call that when there's so much light? Light pollution. There we go. Okay, there's always some kind of pollution in there. But sometimes you only see you see the moon and maybe a couple of the stars, some of them. And when you get out away from the city, you know, when it's really dark, and then you get a great view of that. And we see here, you know, God's glory is above that. So we've got the heavens, as we think of, where planes fly, birds fly, clouds come and go. But he's above all that. We got the stellar heavens, where the stars and other planets are at. But he's yet beyond that. And yet, he says his glory is above the heavens. One of these days, we're going to get to see all that, you know. And the thing is, David's looking at this without the aid of telescopes and all the stuff that we have in modern day. And then he goes on through the rest of the psalm to talk about some of God's deeds, some of the things that he's done. And with creation and then also with humanity, we are his highest creation, and God has a plan of redemption. We're unique in that he's got a plan to provide salvation for us humans. Doesn't have that for the angels. Doesn't have that, I'm sorry, for Muffy and that was one of our dogs, you know, your gerbil or whatever else that you got at home, you know. God's got a plan for us, and his plan to begin with was that we would have dominion over the earth. Well, sin came in, kind of messed that up. But we see here, we see his glory And, you know, it's, I mean, for those who've studied a bit, you know, okay, there's the North Star, there's the Big Dipper, there's the Little Dipper, and after that, I'm not sure where they're at, but different things that we can see, the splendor that's out there. And I don't know, a lot of you guys have traveled around and seen different sites, not just in the heavens, but what is there any one place that seems to kind of stick out from the rest that has impressed you of God's creation or his beauty? I know it's probably hard to pick one, but oh yeah, right. Yeah. And City Hall kind of blocks it over here, but there's some pretty pink and neat sunsets off to the west if you don't have a lot of stuff blocking you here. Anything else? Bob? Yeah, and it's a whole different world out there, isn't it? Yeah. You're one of those geysers blew up here a while back. That'd be a little scary. Yeah, Grand Canyon. You know. Look awful. I don't particularly like heights. And so there's the fence, and I'm, you know. Yeah, okay. Where's the camera over there? Yeah, there's, and but the mountains, you know, we like Colorado, and never really get tired of looking at them. And I say for us flatlanders, you know, you know, a mountain around here is Holy Hill. Yeah, you know, and you get out there, well, Estes Park's, I think, is it 8,000, something like that, and you look up and they're just way up from there, you know. And Maureen's folks used to go out there, and so she knows a lot about the different mountains. There's Long's Peak, and you can tell it's got a little notch in it. People hike and climb up there. We made it as far as hiked up there a number of years ago to the, like, where they camped the night before, because you got to get up really early to make it all the way up and get back down while it's still daylight. You don't want to be up there roaming around in the dark. But, yeah. So, yeah, lots of beauty, you know, even with the curse and things that have deteriorated, there's still an awful lot of beauty out there, you know. And wherever you look, whether it's the flowers, just the many different things that are so awestruck. And these people in David's day saw all that they saw and were impressed by it. And again, this is all something that God made. I mean, he spoke and it came into existence. It wasn't, that's the only thing about going to the museums. Here a while back, we went to a museum of some kind. Was it down in Kenosha, you know, and it's millions and billions and so many, you know, it's like, yeah, right. Just ignore that, you know. But, you know, God put it all in place. And when God put it all together, you know, I mean, we're looking at the damaged. We're looking at the kind of the clearance rack, the bent and dent sale, you know, of appliances or whatever. One of these days we're going to see it like God intended it. And so when that happens, what do you think? Are we still going to have mosquitoes? Or maybe they just won't bite. I don't know. We'll find out, though. Well, then, wouldn't you know, sin comes into the world. And the writer here seems to point this out, thinking that this is what he's referring to. In verse 2, you say, how do you get that? Well, it says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Well, Satan did show up on the scene, didn't he? And he got talked Adam and Eve into disobeying God and sin. But this part about the babes and sucklings, we see that Christ quotes this, or he refers to that, after he'd come into Jerusalem, he cleansed the temple, and he's invites the people who are in bad shape to come in, and he's healing the sick and the blind and all the rest of that, and the children are praising him. We could look at that. Let's see, Matthew 21. They talk about little child shall lead them. Sometimes they got better insight than us adults. They don't have all their hang-ups along the way like the religious leaders did of Jesus. They just saw him as another man. And that's what really bugged him, was the fact that, he's accepting qualities of God from others, and they thought he's just a man. But there in Matthew 21, verse 14, he's cleared out the temple. Verse 13, it is written, my house shall be the house of prayer, but ye have made it into a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And, so you're doing something awesome. He's performing miracles. And you think the religious leaders will be going, go, Jesus, go. No. Verse 15, when the chief priests and scribes saw the wondering things he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna is the son of David, they were displeased. Okay, got their nose out of joint. Verse 16, they said unto him, hearest thou what these say? Jesus said unto them, Have you never read out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? So he didn't deny what they were saying. He was the Son of God. And they were speaking the truth. The religious leaders of that day just didn't want to accept it. Satan was there trying to cause trouble, and did cause trouble in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. Jesus shows up, and he's there unfortunately through the religious leaders. They're the ones that's given Jesus a bad time. So if he'll get people to attack Jesus, how easy a prey are we? We're kind of setting ducks if it was just up to us. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Lord to help protect us and care for us. He's not beyond picking on us, but he'll do it through other people, all right? We see here that this is really just a fulfillment of what it talked about there in Genesis 3:15, where it talked about the fact that Christ was what was Satan going to be able to do to Jesus? Bruise his heel, and Christ was going to bruise his head. It was going to be a mortal wound, okay? Jesus, that didn't sound right. I was going to say he knocked it out of the park, but he won the battle there at the cross. Satan is a defeated foe. It's kind of like sentence been passed. You hear about people, the jury has found you guilty. You're going back to jail. Sentencing will be, 3 months from now, and then we'll decide what the penalty is and send you off for however long it is. Okay? Well, that's kind of what's happened to Satan. All right? He's guilty. And sentencing ultimately is going to take place. He's going to end up in the lake of fire and be separated from all of us, all believers and God, for eternity. And Revelation talks about that. And so, here he is. And folks, he's still around today, subtly trying to stir up problems. Where was this happening? Where was that? What was that? Where was it taking place? With Jesus? He's in the temple. You think of all places, you know, they would, Satan wouldn't be messing around in the temple. Yeah. He's messing with the Son of God. He's messing with people's hearts and minds in the temple. What do you think? Is it open season in a church? Yeah. If he can, right. If he can somehow work through people in a church, he's going to do that too. And we'll see a little bit of that during the morning service. He's a troublemaker, all right? And wherever he goes, there's trouble of one kind or another. And yet we see here that he's caring for us. You know, God, just because Satan's around doesn't mean that, you know, God says, you know, that's too much trouble. No. He says there in verse 3 and following about his care for us, he says, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained. Okay. You look at the heavens and he says, it's like God's handiwork. You know, I'm amazed at what some of you, well, if I saw more of what the guys did, I might be amazed at that too. But some of the ladies, those of you who, I got to get it all straight, knit, clank, clank, you know, crochet. I still think of that, is it the lamb that you made? Whatever, you know, how many hours or something like that does it take? You know, that's our handiwork. But God, he creates the heavens, and not just ours, but you know, you think about the universe. You know, we're kind of zeroed in on Earth, but he did an awful lot of other things with all these other planets and different things. You know, they're not just planets off the assembly line, you know, the chunk, 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 they're all the same. No, we've got Saturn out there with its rings and all these other things out there, you know. And but he says, you consider all that God's made, put it in perspective, and then here comes man, you know, the heavens, and then there's man. You know, we are such a small cog in the whole universe. And yet, I had the radio on here this morning. And I don't remember what else he said, but he was talking about, he said something about the fact that, you know, God knows our name. We're not ants out there like in our yard or something that we see crawling in and out of that little ant hill or something. No, he knows each one of us and he cares about us. And he has the ability to meet our needs. And but he says it's kind of like God just rolling clay around in his fingers. He's designing something, you know. And you think about what we can see here that David could with our telescopes, you know, whether it's ones we're sitting out in the backyard with and we're looking at, or we've got, what is the Hubble telescope and some of this stuff where they can see a way off. Now, I don't know how they can know this, and I'm not going to argue with them, but, you know, it says we have somewhere around 200 billion galaxies in the universe. How do we know that? 1,000,000,000,999,000 999. Okay, here we go. I mean, billion seems like a lot. And then we start seeing the national debt, you know. And it's going that way too. But and then how far light travels, 186,000 miles a second. And then they figured that out. I don't think my calculator goes that far, but it says 5.88 trillion miles. Okay? Wow. That's a lot in a year. And so it's hard for us to comprehend all of this. And yet, it's amazing, God's work. And he spoke it into existence. I mean, it had to be in God's mind, you know. You know, they talk about people that maybe carve sculptures. They start out with a chunk of marble, and they see in that whatever it is they're going to make. And they chisel out everything that doesn't, not a part of that. Well, they had to have it in their head, you know. And again, what all was in God's head when he created this world? I mean, our world and the plants and the animals and the fish. And that's quite an imagination to come up. Okay, we can come up with the whale and we can come up with the guppy, you know, I mean, and everything in between. And so what are we compared to the stars and the galaxies? You know, it tells us that, you know, stars are like without number. And but you think too of, you know, there's, I don't know exact, I didn't look that up, but millions of people in countries all over the world, you start adding them all up and you probably get billions. Okay? And God knows everything there is to know about all of them. Wow. You know, I mean, it could have been, you know, we created it, just go off and leave it. But he didn't. It tells us that he's mindful. He's thinking about us. In Psalm 139, 17, he says, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them." You know, and you think, you know, God takes time to think about us. And because he cares for us. And he knows what's best for us. You know, sometimes we think we know best, and sometimes that doesn't work out real well, does it? But even with the earth being affected by sin, God still demonstrates grace towards us. And life on earth still suitable for life, and there's an awful lot of neat things to see out there, and it's going to get better. All right, going to get better. All right, so we see here how he cares there for humanity. Back verse 5, he says, "For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels." Now, not to make a big deal out of this. I mean, we're lower than the angels. I think we'd probably recognize that. But the word that's used there is Elohim. That can also be translated as God. And whether David really meant angels or whether he was talking about God, we're lower than both. Okay? But we're still at the top of God's overall creation. And he created us to exercise dominion over this earth. And when it started out, it was perfect. And we see here that as we look on, God's plan for humanity was perfect. He says there in verse 6, he says, "Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. All the sheep, the oxen, and yea, the beasts of the field, and the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea." Okay, so God designed Adam and Eve to have dominion over all of that. Well, we know sin wrecked that, okay? And yet we're still seen as the top layer, if you will, of all of God's creation. How does that differ with evolution? How does evolution see us? Pardon?
Slime.
Yeah, okay. Wow, we haven't even graduated yet. We started out as slime, and then we got legs or fins or something and swam around for a couple million, billion years ago, and then we got enough little legs on us that we could crawl up into land, and whew, wow. And then we're able to breathe air instead of having gills. You know, it takes a lot of faith to believe all that. You know, how you get from here to here we are today. You know, just one big accident after another. Wow. But, you know, people come up with all kinds of strange things to somehow nudge God out of the way, you know. And that's really what evolution's all about. You know, we take God out of the picture. It just happened. The Big Bang. You know, that's how we got this world. And then evolution through all these billions of years and, you know, and then here we are, you know. But it was like just one accident after another, survival of the fittest and all the rest of that stuff. And but then we don't have to answer to God. You know, there is no God. It just happened. And so we're not accountable to anybody. So we can live as we please. We can do whatever we want. A lot of people live that way. That doesn't mean there won't be a judgment, that there won't be an accounting for how we live and what we do with Jesus. But there's a lot of people out there that are about as far away from God as you can get. You know, He does, you know, He may or may not exist. There may or may, well, they get into, maybe there's a higher power, you know, maybe not. And then we wonder why people are in such a mess, you know. God is not a part of their world or even their thoughts. And as a result of that, they just do as they please. So we see here, again, God had this in mind. This is what He had planned. Sin come in, interrupted that. But then we see here that it wasn't just, you know, King David. Did King David have dominion over the animals or over the people? Not really. I mean, his own son ran him out of town. His family was pretty much a mess. But what do you expect when you got a whole bunch of wives and a whole bunch of kids and, you know, they're all wanting dad's attention and, you know, but, you know, Christ comes back, it's going to be a whole different ball game. Where it's like we're turning the clock back. We're going to, they say there's no do-overs, but it's kind of like there is one. We're going to kind of start from scratch again, you know, and Christ is going to have dominion over the animals and the people, and they are going to get along. That'll be interesting. I'm sorry. Maybe the Lord's going to change our hearts and minds, right? So maybe I'll be okay with snakes, but right now I don't. And sharks, yeah, right. Yeah, Bill, in my mind, the only good snake is a dead snake. But some people love them. But I don't want them crawling around my neck. And no, thank you. All right, so, but it will be about Christ. He's going to set up His earthly kingdom and make the animals tame again. Talks about that there in Isaiah 11, 1 through 10. Let's see if we got. So this is a part of the brochure of the millennium. Okay, so you can, something to look forward to. When you get tired of reading the how many got killed in Milwaukee over the weekend or whatever, we can see it's not always going to be that way. It says there in Isaiah 11, 1, it says, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." And we're talking about Jesus. "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, Spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord." Okay? Does that sound like a presidential candidate? We're going to have a real ruler this time, okay? "And he shall make of him quick understanding and the fear of the Lord, and shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, But with a righteous shall he judge the poor, reprove the equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and the breath of his lips shall slay the wicked. Okay, we're not just going to slap their hands and turn them loose. Okay, the righteous shall be girded of his loins of faithfulness, the girdle of his reins. The wolf shall also dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, and their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play in the hole of the asp, or the snake, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the cockatrice's den. Thou shalt not hurt nor destroy in any of my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the earth. And in that day there will be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover a remnant of his people, which are left out of Assyria and from Egypt. And well, I guess I'm supposed to stop in verse 10. But, okay, so things are going to be different. We're going to like it. We're going to enjoy it. It's going to be a delightful creation. And so, again, there's things that none of us know. Is there still going to be poison ivy and all that stuff? If it is, maybe it won't itch. You know, and the bees will just buzz. They won't sting if you reach in there and grab some honey or whatever. David's looking ahead, and you know, it's great to look back and see what God initially made with creation. Recognize the fact that, you know, man messed up. Man chose to sin, and we've been reaping the results of that ever since then. But it's not always going to be that way. God and his plan is going to turn things around, and we can be confident. Okay, so we know it's going to be like that in the millennium. What comes after? Okay, so then we have the great white throne, and then what? Yeah, right. The new heavens and the new earth. Okay, and it's the best is yet to come. We gotta keep reminding ourselves of that. And so he ends the psalm in a similar way to how he began there in verse 9. O Lord, okay, Jehovah, our Lord, Adonai, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Okay, so we can uphold God's name, you know, and that's why, you know, it ought to really bother us when people are cussing and swearing and using God's name in vain. You know, most of them don't even probably realize what they're doing. You know, it's just that bad habit they've got into, you know. God's greatness, he's always been great. He hasn't diminished. We get a little old and tired and weary sometimes, and we wear out, but that's not happening to God. He's as strong and loves us, cares for us. His ability to meet our needs is just as true today as it was in Adam and Eve's day. And so we need to remind ourselves of that, of our great and glorious God. And stop and think, what problems are you looking forward to having gone away when Christ sets up his kingdom? What's happening now that you are not going to miss? Gail? Yeah. No wars. Yeah. How many companies won't need to exist in the millennium? We don't need to be building fighter jets or giant ships and so on to calm things down. I'm not quite sure how God's going to do it, but maybe, again, he just speaks. Knock it off. Okay. All right. Well, so we're not going to... Crime will cease. All right. What else? What else are we going to look forward to?
Well, for me, no sin of Satan bothering him, feeling guilty or not.
Yeah, right. Why is it going to be so much better during the millennium than it is now? Yeah, Satan's bound for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. He's not around to bother anybody, okay? And I have a notion that his other guys are out of commission too, right? They get a little bit of turned loose at the end, but we know how that turns out too. Yeah, wow. Satan's out of the picture, all right? People are going to live a long time. Sorry, Bob. You're going to be out of work, bud. Maybe they turn the hospitals into condos or something. I don't know. Yeah. Well, there'll be a lot. Because how many people are out there today fixing things that break? I'm guessing there's stuff's not going to fall apart like it does now, right? Those dead trees won't be falling down and need to be cut up or whatever else needs to be doing. So, yeah. Yeah, there's going to be some drastic changes. And we're going to be there to be a part of it. That's exciting. And it's not just a fairy tale story that happens to somebody else. We're going to be there and get to experience it. Okay, well, let's close here for now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are. Not just what you've done, but you've done a marvelous job of creation. Man's kind of messed things up with his sin, and Satan's been having a heyday here for quite some time. But we see here, too, that he'll be put out of commission here one of these days for 1,000 years. And we'll get to enjoy this earth without his temptations and difficulties that he puts out there in front of us. Lord, we pray that you might continue to encourage our hearts and then also to appreciate what you're doing in our hearts and lives now. Again, we're a pretty small cog in the whole overall plan of things. We think about the size of this universe and even just all the number of people in this world and all the problems that we have, but it doesn't wear you out. You're not stressed by it. You still love us and care for us. And it won't just happen while we're here on this earth, but you're going to care for us after we are taken to heaven and throughout eternity. And we thank you for your word that gives us this hope and gives us this promise. And we ask that now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you for coming.